Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking with Dan Mekas and John Gregg, two of the district's district facilitators, and we're talking about partnership. But let's go back to last week, where we talked about the life cycle of a congregation. John, if you want to start, what does that all mean?
Yeah, well, every congregation kind of goes through a life cycle. They're birthed, and they are excited about the new ministry they're doing in a community. They have a good vision for that, and then it as time goes by, the vision kind of slowly becomes secondary or even tertiary behind the structure, and we get to that point of where we're comfortable in what we're doing, and then all of a sudden we start to see some decline. But this is the way we've always done it, and so we kind of stick to our guns that way. And that's the time where we either have to look at how we do some rebirth and get back into that adolescent adult excitement of life, or we look towards kind of end of life issues, and we're working with some things on that as well, how we deal with end of life issues for congregations. One of the things we've noticed as we've been talking with a lot of the churches in our region is a desire to figure that out, where they are in the life cycle and how to reinvigorate. And a lot of that, I think, comes from internally looking at vision, but also externally as we look at partnerships and collaboration rather than kind of trying to stay in our silos.
Yeah. And I have to imagine that's why partnerships are needed even more today than ever, right?
Yes. Yeah. Dan, you've got some of the statistics, I think, some of the numbers.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things too that we find out with partnerships is was really something very grounded in scripture from early on. Adam and Eve partnering together as God led them to work together in the garden and then to be fruitful and multiply. We continue to see that throughout Old Testament, New Testament times. And it's almost like maybe we've gone through a period of time where we've hit, I know John used the term earlier in our previous podcast, talking about we're in these silos. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like sometimes we've gone to the silo and we've forgotten about how God expanded his church in the New Testament through partnerships. For instance, like the Philippians, they partnered with Paul when nobody else would partner with Paul. And that partnership was unique for the Philippians because it involved all kinds of offerings and sacrifice. So it wasn't like, we're going to partner with you, Paul, to see what we can get out of it. No, we're going to partner with you because we want to see the kingdom work advance. And so, you know, what I really see as a great opportunity for us today to kind of regain that idea of working together as we've done as the people of God and use that to move God's church forward. And then another reason that we kind of talk about those things is there's some pretty alarming statistics that are out there today within our church, within our own LCMS. We have a decline in membership. We've seen this pattern now for many years. And when we look at those big numbers for the Synod, sometimes we forget that's going to show itself within our congregations. Right. And so many times you've got congregations who, you know, a few years back, they were worshiping 100, 200, 150 people in worship. Now they're down to this 50 members in worship each week or maybe 75. And they start to notice this, and it's like an acceptance thing, as John said about the life cycle. We kind of accept it instead of saying, how do we kind of revitalize? How do we re-energize for the work that God has for his church on earth?
You know, if anybody's been at one of President Davis's conferences over the last probably year, he's shared some things about how the congregations, we used to have 28 in the Michigan district of over 500 members and weekly attendance. Now we only have 8, you know, a decline of 71% in that 250 to 500 range. We had 58. Now we've lost 45% of those. And we just see these smaller churches not necessarily getting bigger. Most of them are tending to get smaller. And so there's a real need for some reevaluation and maybe some cooperation and collaboration.
Yeah. And you know, we've seen President Davis had shared from their council president meeting in April of this year that since February of this year, so that would have only been about a 2-month span, in our church body, we had 10 congregations close just in that short period of time, which it makes me wonder. I don't have any statistics information on those congregations, but it really makes me wonder, did those congregations just kind of go through the life cycle and experience death, or did they try to revitalize? Did they try to renew and possibly partner with somebody and look, because those partnerships don't necessarily have to mean mergers. They don't have to even mean dual parishes. It may be helping out one another in certain parts of ministry, or it may even be saying, hey, maybe a congregation can help another congregation to utilize their site to be a community outreach area. And we've got some of that going on in some of our regions here in the Michigan district.
One of the other issues is that pastors other than Dan and I are getting older. You know, there's a lot that are working past retirement age to stay in congregations. And at some point, they're going to not be able to do that, at least full time, maybe even, you know, their time's going to be limited. And so we're going to see a large shortage, could see a large shortage of pastors coming in the next 5 to 10 years as guys retire, and I forget the number, but it's a very small number that's coming out of seminary.
This year we had 96 seminary graduates, and there were 140 requests. But one of the alarming things is, as we see, as many of our pastors are in those baby boomer years, and they go into retirement, it's been projected out there could be upwards of 300 pastors in our synod retiring a year. So 300 pastors not serving. We bring in 96 new pastors. It's pretty easy to figure out the math. We're going to have shortages there. So how can, if we don't have enough pastors to fill the pulpits in the congregations, how do we utilize that and kind of leverage those situations the best way? And to me, it seems like that better an interest to start going into how do we have congregations partner, whether they be dual parishes. And I'm a believer that a dual parish can be a wonderful thing, but it should never be established just for maintenance purposes. The dual parish should come together for the purposes of advancing ministry. And, you know, I think you get the benefit of having maybe a pastor serving those two congregations, but the laity have the opportunity to really be involved in ministry and to lead that, to go out with the gospel with that pastor's guidance and direction and teaching. Those are some things we're going to have to be looking at with a little more seriousness in these coming months and years.
And I think, you know, biblically, we also have that example of people partnering for a season. Paul and Barnabas partnered for a season, and they had different visions. And so they went their different ways and continued doing ministry. Mm-hmm. And they both, expanded the ministry, furthered the kingdom. And that's what we're to do. They came together, did some things, and in due season, went their own ways as well. So these aren't permanent things that we're necessarily talking about, but, finding different ways that we can just support each other and further the kingdom.
Yeah, I think John and I, our main exposure is to congregations who are on that struggling side of things. And we're kind of in dialogue right now saying, how can we utilize some of our larger congregations that are doing many active things in memory, in ministry, how can we kind of work with them a little bit to say, how can you help keep this ministry of the gospel going over in this area where this congregation's at? You know, not asking them to take over the ministry and things like that, but as to how can you help them to maybe receive a little bit of your DNA and understanding of how you're able to connect with people in your communities and congregations. So I think there's a lot of opportunities here. And I would really kind of use this as a moment to kind of encourage all of our churches to be in prayer, to be in study of God's word, to say, okay, this is a way that God's church can move forward. Mm-hmm. Lord, how are you calling us to do that?
Right. And some of these larger congregations with a couple pastors may be able to help supply, for a worship service at that location. I guess the hardest thing is, If a congregation closes, we lose a footprint for ministry in that community. And that community still needs to hear and experience the love of Jesus. And so if we're no longer there with that, it's a lot harder to break back into a community. And so if there's those ways of partnering to keep some sort of ministry, and it may not be necessarily Sunday morning worship. It can be with, like you've said in previously, in other different kind of ministries, clothing banks, you know, food banks and dinners and that
sort. And you know, when you start to looking at the demographics, it just even in the state of Michigan, a few years back, we were almost about a 50-50. 50 would claim a Christian faith, and 50% of people would not have a home church and things like that. We continue to look at demographics. If anything, it's probably even gotten a little bit less. So when we look at our different communities, it's not like, well, most of them are all connected to church and they know Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is we still have a world out there that needs to hear this message. If we're lessening our opportunities to have the footprint in communities, probably less opportunity for them to know of Jesus. So to kind of hold on to those things and work together just for the furtherance of the kingdom is what's kind of on our hearts and minds.
So Dan, I want to ask you, maybe expand on this a little bit. You talked about the partnerships shouldn't necessarily be for maintenance, but more for gospel outreach. Do you want to expand on that and talk about what you kind of, how that can happen? And I have to imagine there's a lot of churches out there who just want to maintain and want to keep things going on that Sunday morning, right? So what do you tell them?
And that, well, kind of what I would say is, you know, the challenge does not come from Dan. It does not come from John. That really the challenge comes from God himself. You know, his purpose and function of his church is to be that center of teaching and preaching, and then to go out with that gospel. And for us to maintain means we're really only, you know, kind of concentrated on taking care of ourselves and not others. And I guess in my own mind, I look at, again, the demographics that say we've got 50% of our people that are not connected to Jesus. If we're only focused on ourselves, that 50% is never going to change. And so, you know, as we work together, the purpose, like I would say, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, we want to talk to this church about maybe doing a dual parish, I'd say, you know, that could be a great idea. But I would challenge you even before you have those discussions is how do those two ministries, how can you work together to strengthen ministry, not just to maintain? You know, that will become a part of the overall activities that go on of the churches. They'll maintain, but to be satisfied with that really only means that as we begin to lose members to death, as we begin to age, that maintaining the numbers continue to be less and less.
It takes more and more to maintain.
Yeah, more and more to maintain. And we still have not even begun to grab hold of that challenge from God of making disciples of all nations.
And I'll kind of point you back to that, our first podcast, where it comes down to vision. What is God's vision for us in this place? And if we don't have that because we don't want to, because we want to focus on our vision and keep our church to ourselves, without having that desire for vision, I mean, I guess if you have that vision, you can go to another church and say, hey, we're trying to do this in our community, but we need these resources to assist us. And I think you're probably going to have a lot better response than going, hey, we just want to kind of keep the same thing until we can kind of close the doors in 5 years. And we want you to invest in that for us. That's a much harder sell for a partnership, because that's not really a partnership. Mm-hmm. That's can you come and be our caregiver?
We just kind of published an article that I'd written. I talked about my oldest son in that. And my oldest son, when he was in his early 20s, had been dating a lot of different girls and things like that. And he finally just told me the one time, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to get married, because all the relationships that I've had, you know, really, they don't have much to offer me. And I said, really, that's not what marriage is about. Marriage is about how you can make somebody else better. What can you offer them? And I said, if you begin to approach it in that type of way, I said, you're going to find somebody who you're going to see is a wonderful person, and that you're going to care about, and you're going to want to invest yourself in them to make them better, you know, make them stronger, to be the best they can possibly be. And it was interesting when he finally found the young lady he's been married to now for years. He just kind of like, I get what you mean now. And I see that within our church today. It's not like, well, let's partner so I can see what we get out of it. Really, let's partner so I can make you better, because ultimately it's what makes God's kingdom go its best.
Great point. Great stuff. We absolutely appreciate it. And no, it's definitely needed when you look at the numbers and see that, you know, what do we have? 6 seminary grads, 3 through the SMP route too. So, you know, it's much needed, those partnerships for sure.
Yep.
Check the show notes. We've got more information, including details on how you can connect with Dan and John. Hey, guys, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. And thanks to everyone listening.
Yeah. And thank you for all you guys do as well. So thank you, listener, for making this podcast part of your day. God bless.